If you're at a cafe and you hear a this, then you definitely know
it's mocha latte time.
In this week's show, we all drink espresso, but can it be turned into art? Find out as we sit down with Karen from Tulsa, Oklahoma this week, and we get to find out where I will be going on the big trip in May as I take you along with me, as well as the coffee scenes from Tulsa and Durant, Oklahoma, and a new Mod Dog hit coming up next.
Greetings and welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV. This is my weekly podcast where I travel around the country with the circus. That's right, the circus is my day job, but have a passion for coffee and travel around and give you the coffee scene. I play trumpet in the circus by night, but on my off time I always check out the coffee scene, trying mocha lattes and rating them, whether they're good or bad, and also trying out, you know, my hand at espresso and coffee and getting to talk to cool coffee people. And you guys are in for a real treat this week. As I kind of mentioned last week and kind of gave you guys a little glimpse, you're going to get to meet Karen, who is an artist extraordinaire with espresso. So I'll get to that in a minute, but just kind of give you an overview of this week. Right now you're actually with me here in the Flying Dutchman RV, which is currently flying down Route 40 in New Mexico. I'm about, I'd say an hour outside of Albuquerque, and I've been driving for about 10 hours today. Long day, but it's about 650 miles today, and making my way to the circus lot where I'll get set up for this week and unpack my house, basically, and set up my home for the week there in Albuquerque. But yeah, good week this week. We were in Durant, Oklahoma, and I also took, as I mentioned, a trip up to Tulsa. Now, Durant, just kind of give you a little idea, if you never visited there, it's in a part of Oklahoma called Texoma Land, or right near Lake Texoma. It's about, if you know where Oklahoma City is, that's a pretty popular, well-known city. It's about, I'd say, two and a half hours south-southeast of Oklahoma City there. So, and it's about maybe 90 miles or hour and a half north of Dallas. So that kind of gives you an idea where it is. It's pretty rural, but it's right in the middle of the Choctaw Nation, which is a Native American reservation there, and we actually played on the reservation this week. That's for me anyway, in my career as a musician, that's the first time performing on a Indian reservation, so that's kind of cool. They have the Choctaw Nation Casino and Resort there, as well as the Coliseum, which is where we played. And the Coliseum actually happened to be more of a bull riding arena for, like, you know, rodeos and that type of thing. But we made it work for the circus, you know, dirt floor and all. It was exciting, you know, a little bit out of the unusual, I guess you could say. But yeah, it was a good week. We played to sold out crowds, which is always, it's always fun, you know, to, when you have a full house, there's always just something special in the energy, I guess you could say. And you definitely feel it on the performer's side. You can tell watching the people in the circus doing their acts. And I mean, they always put a lot of energy in their performances, but it's kind of cool when you have the crowd behind you and all the seats are full. There's just like, I don't know how to explain it. Something special, I guess you could say. About kind of like a, I don't know, like a static electricity or a sizzle to kind of in the air. But yeah, it's a good week, really good week for the show. Did good business. And I also, like I said, I took a day trip up to Tulsa, and lots of good stuff up there. A really good interview. You guys are in for a real treat, as I said. You're going to get to meet Karen and hear all about her espresso art and, you know, what she does and kind of what motivates her, you know. What came first? Was it the art, or was it the love of coffee, or, you know, was it, how did she, you know, come up with this idea? Was it espresso, was it sent down from on high? So you'll get to hear about that in a minute. But also before I get to that, I want to mention I got down to Dallas as well, but unfortunately didn't get to visit any coffee places. So went down to the symphony this week and got to hear the orchestra down there in Meyerson Hall, and got to hear Beethoven's 3 Eroica symphony and some pieces by Tchaikovsky. So good stuff. Very busy week, but not only that, and as you probably heard in the intro of the podcast, got new pipes for the motorcycle. So I'll talk about that later. So a lot of good stuff coming up this in the rest of the podcast. And I have to say, this is definitely going to be shorter than the past two. I know the past two have been kind of long. I had a lot. They're kind of jam-packed, I guess you could say. A lot of stuff. Really good interviews. And I felt bad. I couldn't cut the interviews, you know, cut them down. Cut you guys short. I thought it was a lot of good stuff. Plus, if they're too long, you know, that's why it's a podcast. You can turn it off or fast forward. That's the beauty of it. That's what makes podcasting so, so cool, I guess. It gives you, the listener, the control of listening and not having to deal with advertisements and all that good stuff. So, anyways, I digress. So, a lot of good stuff coming up this show. I'm going to get right on to the interview with Karen, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I have to kind of warn you, there's a lot of background noise. You'll still be able to hear us, but there's like blenders going on because we're in a live. I don't record in a studio or, you know, do anything. I don't know what you call it. None of that scripted, you know, fake reality TV type stuff. I just, you know, go on location in a real working coffee shop. No fake baristas or, you know, or pretend customers. It's all real, and you'll hear the sounds in the background, and the interview's unedited, of course. So, you know, you'll hear a couple funny little things happen, but good stuff. So here it is. I'll be back after the interview. Enjoy. So I'm here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with none other than the espresso coffee artist herself, Karen Eland. Did I say your name right?
Eland.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Karen Eland. So welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World.
Thank you very much.
And I just got I just got foam on the microphone cord. We're sitting here in... I'm going to clean this off. We're sitting here in Nordagio's. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're sitting here in Nordagio's Cafe, and in Tulsa, it's South Tulsa, right?
Yeah, South Tulsa, 81st and Lewis.
Okay. Yeah, she's a local, and I'm the out of towner, so she's keeping me straight on on the locale and the names and stuff. So, how do I start? As I mentioned in last week's podcast, she does art with coffee. In a nutshell, how would you describe what you do?
I would say I recreate famous masterpieces and only using espresso. So it's kind of like painting with espresso, watercolor style, but making it look like pictures you would know and recognize.
Right. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier, and you said you've been kind of around espresso. Like, first off, you love coffee, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What's your favorite drink?
I usually get a short vanilla latte, just a drop of vanilla, or a regular, you know, macchiato, espresso and cream, just to taste that espresso.
Yeah, it sounds really good, and I'd be thirsty for one right now, except we do have lattes, so we're fine right now. We actually have a mocha, and I think, did you get your favorite?
Yeah, vanilla latte. Yeah.
With the ginger or the?
This one's just vanilla.
Just vanilla, okay, very good. So, so you've been around coffee for a long time. How did you get started? Was it the art thing that came first and coffee second? You know, did that come afterwards, or how did that interest grow?
Well, I had always been doing art, and I started loving coffee when I lived in New Orleans in the 90s. And it sounds old to say in the 90s, but anyway, it was. And then when I moved back to Tulsa, I discovered Nordagio's, and they had just really fantastic espresso. I fell in love with those drinks and kept doing art, and kind of accidentally decided to paint with coffee. And then I became a barista after that. So just kind of hand in hand, the coffee and the art thing.
So did you, obviously New Orleans is known for Café du Monde, did you get to frequent that quite a bit?
I did, and also this awesome place called Caldi's, which is no longer a coffee shop, but it was really like the local hangout in the French Quarter, and yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I remember it. I was down there, I got coffee and beignets. That's the best thing to set you straight on a morning. Yeah, you'll hear, if you hear like odd sounds coming, we're in a coffee shop, so there's a lot of extra noise, and I'm probably been peeking up. So, yeah, oops. So you'll probably hear lots of extra noise going in the background, so just ignore that and listen to us. So art, were you trained as an artist, or how did you, just something you did as a hobby, or how'd that go?
I liked it ever since I was a kid. I took a portrait class at an art store when I was about 15, and that kind of got me hooked on it, doing art. And I didn't really go to college for that or anything, so it's mostly just experimenting.
Yeah, so it was kind of, I guess, the trial and error type of thing?
Yeah, a lot of playing around.
So what was, obviously, you said you were a barista for a while. What was it, one day did you actually accidentally spill some espresso and something, and it looked like a picture, and you thought, hey, I could paint with this? Or what was kind of, was there a moment, or?
Well, I was sitting here at Nordagio's up at the bar where you can see the machine, and I had my watercolor painting stuff. I was supposed to be doing a sketch, and I was bored with it. I was watching the espresso, and I just thought, man, it's such a pretty color. Maybe I could paint with it. And that's literally just exactly what popped in my head. And I just mentioned it to the barista, and he's like, well, why don't you try it? And I'm like, okay. So we tried like regular coffee grounds, and then espresso like all at once. And the espresso itself was what I liked best. And I just did a little doodle type of a picture, and then after that I was like, well, this really kind of works. I wonder if it could do a real painting. So I was like, I should do, you know, to be cheesy and do the Mona Lisa with a cup of coffee, you know, and see if it can really do like that detailed of a painting. And when it could, I was like, wow, you could do this one. They kept thinking of more, and so it's just kind of like a for fun thing.
Now, how long has it been now since you've started painting these works?
I think I did the first Mona one in 98, I think. So
it's been going for about roughly eight or nine years then.
Yeah, which just now I'm realizing that surprises me. I didn't realize it was that long, but it has.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And then how long, right here we're looking at Whistler's Mother, which is holding a coffee cup, which I assume is a mocha, because now it's entitled Whistler's Mocha. How long does something like that take you on average? I mean, I'm sure, like, that we had the Last Supper, which is almost half of a wall. I'm sure that takes considerably longer. But for, you know, something, I don't know what the dimensions are, how long does that usually take?
It really depends on the style of the picture and the amount of dark areas it has. The dark areas I have to layer on there and dry it between, you know, wait for it to dry. And so that one, and if it's real finely shaded, kind of like that one is more realistic type of painting, takes longer than like an impressionist. But I can't remember exactly how long that one took. But, you know, if I worked straight every day on it, probably about a week. But, well, maybe not even that, but it just depends.
Now, do you have a couple paintings going at any given time, or are you working on, like, one specific project at a time and, you know, work it through to the end before you tackle something else?
Well, I usually just do one coffee painting, like, one idea, and then I'll get into that. And it's kind of sporadic.
As the grinder gives or the blender rather, gives its. So okay, so you kind of work on one at a time. Now, is this a hobby or is this your full time gig or?
It's still pretty much a hobby. I do a lot of oil paintings, like murals in people's homes and that kind of thing. Coffee art, it kind of comes and goes. It's becoming more of my livelihood, I guess you call it. I got a mural for Espresso Vivace in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And I did that last year, and then this year they called and wanted me to do another one, which I was thrilled about, so I'll be starting that. And those are like more major projects that I can live off of.
Yeah, Espresso Vivace is like one of the names in the coffee kind of revolution there in Seattle. So that's really cool. That's really cool. What did, if I may ask, what did they have you paint for them?
The one that I've already done was a lot of the history of espresso. So they had like a old timey photo of one of the first conventions where espresso machines were used, and then they had a lot of different machines through the years and different models that have made a significant advances. And then David Schomers, the guy that owns it, he really has done a lot for people being educated about espresso or how to make really quality stuff. So we had his book and, you know, different things like that. And it was different than my usual stuff that's more like classic art. So it was fun. And I'm looking forward to see what he's going to come up with.
Now, was that all in espresso, or was that regular oils, or?
That was all espresso.
Yeah. Was it an actual, like, something that was framed, or you mentioned mural, was it on a wall?
Well, it's actually, I did them in pieces, and then we stuck it onto the wall, so it's on paper, and then it's underneath their espresso bar, so, like, around the whole bar, underneath the counter, like, when you walk up, you see it there, on the wall there.
Okay. Now, I see that it looks like, I think on the originals, do you use paper or canvas, or what kind of...
It's paper. I've tried canvas, and it doesn't work as well. So, since it's a watercolor type of thing, paper's worked, but they just invented this thing called a watercolor canvas that I'm experimenting with, like, this week. So, we'll see if that works. I may shift over to that, because it's... just kind of different thing to try.
Could revolutionize the espresso painting industry, right?
Yes, it might.
Yeah. No. What was I going to say here? Well, I guess I'm looking at this case, Whistler's Mother. How do you choose which work that you want to paint? Obviously, you've done like the Mona Lisa, The Last Supper, Whistler's Mother. I saw the girl. Pearl Earring, I think the Van Gogh's portrait, I think there's a Picasso maybe in there too. What's kind of, do you have a criteria that you use? Or?
Usually it's just a picture that I like, you know, and of course it has to look good without being in color, you know, like, so it has to have a good lights and darks, just contrast areas that are going to work well with just brown and white. Those are usually the two main things, and of course it has to be a certain amount old, so it's, you can redo it. So those are probably the main ones. I've done several other people give me ideas, like, oh, have you seen this picture? It'd be great for coffee. So
yeah.
Some of them have come about that way. There's been commissions. So.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool. So you said there's been commissions for some like, well, you mentioned Vivace. Like, what other ones have you done?
Well, actually, The Last Supper right there, this shop, the owner really wanted that particular painting, so that was kind of a commission thing. And then some people have got some in their just in their home, like favorite painting they have. I don't even know the name of it. Rural Courtship or something. It's just kind of an old, sweet type of painting, you know. And a lot of portraits of people in coffee, like wedding portraits, and just, you know, people are really coffee fans. I did like I can't remember if he's from Kenya. He's like a coffee guy I met at a trade show. He was in the industry, really wanted a picture of himself in coffee, so you just never know.
Yeah, wow, that's wild. Because I was going to ask what the response has been, you know, I mean, because obviously you started here in Tulsa with your espresso pot, you know, projects, is that right?
Yeah, I started here and really just did it for fun. And I'd be sitting in the coffee shop painting, and then people would be like, oh, I love that. I would love to have one. And so I started thinking I should make prints so they'd be more available and affordable for people. So, and it kind of gradually grew into, like, my cousin helped out doing a website, and then people are just finding it all from all around the world. So it's kind of spreading around, and yeah.
That's cool that you mentioned the website. For everyone who's listening right now, they're probably going, what do these paintings look like? Could you give them the website actually has a gallery with all of the paintings on there, and yeah, you can even order on there too. You want to give them the information?
Yeah, it's www.coffee-art.com. So it's pretty easy to remember, coffee art. And it you can see a gallery. You can order, you can contact me on there.
It has a little blurb about Karen on there and has you saying, you know, talking about your art a little bit and some coffee pictures so on there. Yeah, it was really cool. I actually found out about you when I was here checking out the cafe passing through last week and picked up one of your business cards. And I didn't realize the first time I saw this that it was actually painted with espresso, you know. And so as I checked out the website, it's like, this is amazing. You know, I think this is great. So what has been, I guess, would you say one of the biggest challenges for you in this project, you know, going forward? Is it, say, you know, materials or actually being able to afford espresso? Because obviously it's not cheap, not a cheap medium. Well, actually, maybe it's cheaper than oils. I don't know. What would you say the biggest challenge has been for you?
I guess one thing would be the time to really focus on it. I mean, I tend to have to do other things as well to, you know, pay the rent. But so if I had unlimited time, I feel like I could go a lot farther. But it's slowly turning into that, so I think we'll see what happens. And then probably business-wise, like as far as the coffee art business, I don't know. Most artists would probably say they're not natural business people, and so I like making it and making it available to people. But then it's like, oh, you have to run the business, and that part of it's boring to me. So that might be a little candid, but it's true.
Yeah. I when I lived in Philly, I had friends that were artists that expressed the same thing that, you know, I just want to create. I don't want to have to deal with, you know, the numbers and, you know, being a bean counter and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, well, very cool. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of any more. We said the websites and people can order on there. Can you ship around the world or?
Yeah, I shipped a bunch of stuff to the Ukraine this year. I don't know how they found me, but so. Yeah, pretty much anywhere. I'll ship it there, and you can order any size of a thing, pretty much, or even, yeah, custom orders.
Yeah, and you have prints and cards and, I guess, was it mugs, too? Or?
We were going to do mugs. We haven't actually done them yet. It seemed like just focusing on the prints and the cards. But if everyone all of a sudden said they wanted mugs, I would make mugs.
You do mugs. Okay. Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, so if you want to check out, you know, if you've been sitting there the whole time listening to this podcast and haven't looked it up yet, go to your computer and go to the coffee-art.com, and there's galleries there, and you can contact Karen if you want to, you know, commission a painting or commission 100 paintings. She'd be very, very happy to hear that. And if you're listening overseas in Italy or China for that matter, you know, you can check out the art. And, you know, I think it would make a great early Christmas present for all your friends. You know, if you have friends that really dig coffee, you know, you hang out at the coffee shop, I think that would be, I don't know, that's a good idea for my family for this year for Christmas. Although they're probably listening, so that would maybe that that would ruin the, have you had people give them as presents? You mentioned weddings and stuff.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people wanting, you know, my boyfriend loves coffee, will you do this one? And yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World, and wish you the best of luck with the future of your espresso art.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back. So I hope you enjoyed that. It was a good time I had sitting down with her. It was a lot of fun. So I'm here. I made it to Albuquerque, and I am now made my way up to Taos, New Mexico. And if you're asking where that is, well, look on a map. It's about 2.5 hours northeast. You hit Santa Fe, then a little bit farther into the mountains is Taos. And so it's a nice quiet Tuesday evening here, and you're with kind of chilly though. I think it's down in the 20s tonight, which is, they said it's unseasonably warm, but I'll talk more about Taos next week. I'm gonna give the coffee scene here, and lots of good stuff. But first, before the coffee scene or coffee scenes for this week, I want to talk about the big announcement that I'm alluded to in the past 2 weeks. We talked about, remember I said it was over a body of water and its origin of coffee. And it just so happens that I'm going to, Circus Boy Nathan, that is, i.e. me, is going to be taking you to Hawaii. That's right, for 2 weeks at the end of May. Mark it on your calendars. You're all going to Hawaii with me out there in the podcast land. And I'm really excited because I'm getting to do a cupping workshop that I signed up for. And I believe it's going to be on, I'm trying to sign up for the one on Kona, well, right in Kona Country on the Big Island there in Hawaii. And it's, I've never, in all my coffee travels and tasting and mocha lattes, and I've never gotten to do a cupping workshop or any cupping of any sort. So I'm really excited about this. It should be, it's a two day full 8 to 5 full workshop thing. So I'm looking forward to meeting lots of cool coffee people, and I don't know, maybe we can get some interviews with some tasters or people that are drinking coffee, or I don't know. It's going to be a fun 2 weeks. You're going to have to tune in. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be in Hawaii having a good time drinking some good Kona coffee, and just, yeah, it's going to be a good time. So cool. Now, the coffee scenes for this week. Remember I said I was up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as well as Durant, Oklahoma, and I'm just going to just jump right in. It's I got 7 places this week total. The first is Nordagio's, which is where we just were with, for the interview with Karen there. And I wrote about their mocha. Now, I had tried it the week before on Easter. And if you remember last week's podcast, I didn't include that. So I'm going to throw it all into this week. So I got to try it for a second time. And I wrote, this was better than the first one I had. It was served in-house cup. Nice latte art. It was a decent chocolate taste and decent espresso. It was a good drink, but it didn't pop to me. It was the balance, maybe. I wrote, would definitely drink again. So I gave that drink 4.4 beans, 4.4 on there. Next up is Shades of Brown. Now, this place, oh, I have to first, Nordagio's, the environment there, it's very cool. It's very chill. They have the theme is brown, so the color of coffee, and they have a lot of Karen's art on the wall, and a lot of originals actually. And as she mentioned, the The Last Supper was commissioned by that cafe, so really good stuff there. And they got pictures of latte art on the wall. They have they even have an in-house roaster machine. I didn't see if it was like a, I didn't notice if it was an Ambex or a Dietrich or I don't know. I didn't get the name of it, but very cool place. Very up. I'd say kind of upscale. You know, with leather couches and chairs and. Very nice place to meet there, right across the street from Oral Roberts University. Next place is Shades of Brown. Now, this is located, I believe it's in the Brookside area of Tulsa. It's kind of not quite South Tulsa, but it's definitely south of the downtown. And the cafe, the best way to describe Shades of Brown, a lot of coffee shops try to be a coffee shop and then make it like your living room at home. Well, I would say this coffee shop, they took it and started with your living room at home and then added the coffee shop element to it, because it's a really comfortable space. First you walk in and it's very unpretentious. They have a big old dining room table, wood table there with just, you know, regular odd and ends chairs around it. Very inviting for conversation. They have a big bookshelf with an eclectic variety of books, you know, from dictionaries to I don't know, you know, Where's Waldo. You can just sit down and really relax and you know, just kind of chill out there. And they also have two rooms in the back if you want to have like a meeting space or different stuff like that. So just very down-tempo kind of cool place. I really enjoyed my time there. Now the mocha, I would have to say they had the regular mocha, which is made with Hershey's syrup, which is I never like. But then they had the Prague mocha, which is made with Belgian chocolate. I'm not quite sure why they call it the Prague mocha, since it's Belgian chocolate. I don't know. You'd think they use Czech chocolate if it's Prague, but in any case, it's a good drink. I wrote here, something special in the mocha latte world. Definitely it was. What did I write here? I thought, I can't read my own writing. I was so excited about it. I like the Prague mocha latte I wrote here. Yeah, served in a beautiful handmade cup. All the cups there are handmade. Decent latte art, nice espresso, and tasty. Dark Belgian chocolate. The drink was a good experience. Maybe a little heavy on the chocolate, and it was also pricey, I would have to say, for a 16-ounce. was almost $5. On there. So I gave them 4.6 beans. Next up in Tulsa is the, I believe it's called the Coffee House. And it's right there, kind of is actually really close to the downtown. And you walk in and it's also kind of, I guess they do have a big dining room table there. It felt kind of cramped with all the tables and chairs in there, but there's definitely a lot of attention paid to the artwork and just, you know, really comfy chairs and kind of a cool, definitely has its own character. It's not cliche at all, which is, I always look for a cafe that, you know, has its own character, because it definitely adds to the experience of enjoying your mocha latte, of course. Now, I wrote on their mocha latte, served in-house cup, very nice latte art, okay chocolate, but a little bitter on the espresso taste, not smooth at all. Kind of ruined the drink for me, really. Might drink again on this one. So I gave them 4.1 beans. Next up is Hot Shots Cafe. And, oops, I skipped over to Durant. Sorry, I got to finish up Tulsa first before we get down to Durant. Next is Java Dave's. Now, Java Dave's is a chain in Tulsa, as far as I can tell. They two or three, well, maybe three or four locations. And I tried the one in South Tulsa there. And you walk in, and it is kind of the cliche coffee kind of place that also serves tea and smoothies. Regular table chairs, a counter, they serve a limited amount of baked goods type of thing there. As far as the mocha latte I wrote here, the drink came across as a mass-produced mocha latte poser, which it did. Served auto-to-go cup, Aston whipped cream, average chocolate, loose foam, and close to terrible espresso. I wouldn't drink again. So that drink got 2.6 beans. Next up is Cafe Bona. And this is also, they had three or four locations there in South Tulsa. And it was newly, I guess, new owners as of maybe two or three years ago. And that cafe has kind of blossomed, from what their website says anyways. And they've opened two or three more locations within Tulsa, and I think actually one somewhere west, maybe Oklahoma City as well. And I walked in, and it definitely has its own kind of feel. It's almost like it's more of a cafe than a coffee house type of feel, and definitely full of students studying, a lot of couches, some tables, and they have a full menu of sandwiches and smoothies and desserts, so they don't have just coffee, but they also have that. But more importantly, the mocha latte I wrote here, I wanted to like this drink, but a few things were holding it back. It was served all to-go cup, they asked on whipped cream, better than average chocolate, but the foam was too loose and the espresso was slightly bitter, or slightly better than average. I would drink again. So I gave them 3.7 beans. So that wraps it up for Tulsa. And then quickly in Durant, there's only one coffee shop in the whole town of Durant. It was Hot Shots Cafe. And that was kind of a cliche coffee place. Big open space, not crowded. Typical counter. They have a drive-thru. Very nice people behind the counter serving. But I wrote here about the drink. It was a hastily prepared drink without much thought put into it. It was served auto to-go cup, Aston whipped cream. Chocolate was okay. Milk was underheated. And espresso was weak to blah. I couldn't really take it or leave it. So 3.2 beans on there. And last but not least, as I was traveling to Albuquerque this week, I stopped in Henrietta, Texas. There was a little place right along the side of the road. It's kind of a, I don't know what you would call it, it's an oddity, I guess, right outside of Wichita Falls, maybe 10 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes. A little row of shops, and they sell everything from furniture to coffee and I don't know what else, but it's kind of like a, I would say, upscale Western feel to the coffee shop. It's called the Java Junkie, and they sell kind of like, well, just what I just said, upscale Western, and that's the decor they had in the coffee shop. And you can walk, they're all connected, all the stores are connected, so you can walk right into the furniture store next door, or the other furniture store on the other side of it, and you can have a coffee while you do it. So there's a lot of attention paid to detail on this one, but as far as the decor on the inside there, but I wrote about the drink, mediocre at best, no foam, weird espresso, even the Ghirardelli's chocolate that they used seemed a little bit, little off in this drink. I would really take it or leave it for this drink. So served auto to-go cup, no whipped cream, so I gave them 2.9 beans. So that wraps up the coffee scene for this week, and as always, you can go and see the bean scale if you're asking, you know, Nathan, what is this bean scale that you're using? You know, did you get it from Caldy, the goat herder, or is it something you came up with on your own? Well, you can go to bestmochalatte.blogspot.com, and I usually put what you just heard me talk. I try to type it out and put a little picture up there, and the bean scale is there as well on the website. So cool. Well, that about wraps up the podcast for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for checking it out. You can always go to, I have a website for this podcast where I usually put a picture up there and you know, a little blurb about what the podcast is about, and I have links to a couple other podcasts I listen to, as well as there's actually, believe it or not, I'm going to put a link up there. A gentleman from Wichita Falls newspaper did an interview with me, and a lot of good stuff. It's kind of for his blog with the newspaper there, and a lot of good stuff. If you ever wondered about, you know, how I got started with this this whole search and kind of, you know, what I think about coffee scene or whatever, you can go check that out. I'll put the link up there this week on the website, which the website is bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. And you can also have a call-in line there on the website, and I'm going to bring it up. I'm on the web right now as podcasting to you. And the call line, just make sure you leave your name and where you're calling from. And you can say whatever you want about the podcast. And if it's good, I'll put it on. You can. The number is 206-202-5127. And if you're calling from overseas, you just have to make sure you put the American country code on there as well. So yeah, good stuff. That about wraps it up for this week. Next week, upcoming events is going to be in Taos trip. As I said, we're in Rio Rancho, which is right outside Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I'm going to give you the coffee scene there as well. And I'll talk about the motorcycle next week. I know I gave you a little glimpse of it next week, but I'll talk a little bit out of time. I want to keep this short this week. So yeah, we'll save the motorcycle talk for next week. And I also want to send a big thank you to Blueberry.com for giving some web space to the podcast. That's BLUEBRRY.com. There's no E in fruit, so there's no E in blueberry. And a lot of good podcast stuff going on over there. So, yeah, thanks for checking out. Thanks again to Karen for sitting down with us for the podcast. And new Mod Dog hit this week. As you know, Mod Dog is one of the guys that works with me, one of the musicians on the circus. And he gives great original music. You won't hear it anywhere else on the web, except for maybe Acid Planet, but no other podcast, I should say, on the web has it. And this week he's given us a new one with that he did in Carney, and he calls this Carney Breath. It's a really cool kind of down tempo piece. So enjoy, and until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.